Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 8, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So, folks, it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you haven't made a choice for Yeshua tonight, or you need to rededicate yourself, or you have a prayer request or something else, and you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. And if you decide to call my cell phone, you know, which I'm going to give to you for emergencies, you know, because as I explained about a week ago, you know, I seem to be getting so many calls that are from, you know, telemarketers, I guess it is. Anyway, and that, yeah, I'm on a do not call list, but telemarketers, so please, sometimes if I don't pick up the phone to you, you know, with the cell phone, leave a message. And also, what might be also advisable, this is a thing, everybody's doing text nowadays. So you can send me a text on my cell phone, about a prayer request and I'll call you back. And then I can skip, you know what I'm saying? So try that. The phone number, of course, for my, the main number is 620-878-4682. 878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is indeed 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, one thing you should check out when you get over there is the pastor's page. Because while I'm talking on radio, like tonight, I may get a link or some other information that you need, and so I will send it to the pastor's page. You can go over there, click the link, and find it. Because I know, you know, I've been it before. I listen to radio programs and listen to something or on TV, and you go, what was that number he just said? You know what I'm saying, folks? And so I'm just simply sending it on over to you so that you have it. And for the record, we do have a good program lined up for you tonight. We should also remember that we are a national satellite radio program. It's simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube right now and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime or even podcast time. But first, we do our programs. People say, well, podcasts don't cost much. Well, you haven't seen the bill from my podcast site, which is a radio archive site. But look at it this way. For us, our podcasts aren't pre-recorded things. They're live, our live radio programs, such as right now that I'm doing. So I have to pay for the airtime on the radio in order for those podcasts to exist, which are simply archives of this live radio program. So anyway, moving right along. Pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's take our listener base. It is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Morocco. Sorry, folks in Morocco. I can't pronounce the name of that city, but thank you, folks, over there in Morocco. Munich, Germany, Moscow, Russia, Winnipeg, Canada, and, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Washington, D.C., Henderson, Nevada, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Plano, Texas, and Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, these are just to name a few, of course, But still, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. Now, folks, I can't tell how many people are listening live, but when they do go to the podcast site, one of many. Now, mind you, I looked it up not long ago. I found at least six, seven, or eight, something like that. It was over six, under 10 websites. It wasn't really websites, just podcasts that do nothing but radio, even Google, that broadcast our programs, that have them over there. So we are picked up over a lot of things. And so, amen, we have a very large audience is what I'm trying to say. So pray with us about supporting radio. Also, please follow us and share us on Twitter. That's another way that you can support us. If you share us on Twitter and we get more followers and more followers, they check us out on our website. They listen to radio programs and business to the site. The Prophecy Hour site, .com site, is picking up because of Twitter. So that's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77 on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I really pray that what goes on tonight on radio will be your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, folks, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to you about something. But now listen, we've got a guest on, and he'll be on in about another 4 minutes. But in the meantime, first, I want to say something to you about Bibles. Now, for most of you, I mean, you know, if you've got to have faith, you got to have a word. You know, I know that, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Yahweh. That's what the Bible says. And so Bibles are really important, especially to our mission church, because we give out loads and loads, or we're 18 years, getting ready to start 19. We give out many, many Bibles, thousands upon thousands of Bibles. And we're at a rare place that we find ourselves. We're at a place where we don't have any funds to buy any more Bibles, and we're out of Bibles. People are asking for Bibles. And so I'm praying that you will make a donation to the Wichita Mission Church of some King James Version large print Bibles. Now, the reason I say large print is because, you know, a lot of people don't have glasses and things, and the larger the print, the better. And so, you can get them by the case or something. You can buy them online fairly cheaply. I will put a link over there at that pastor's page tonight, so that you can see a good place to buy Bibles. Now, the better Bible that you buy, the more, I want a cover that's durable. Paper covers are cool, but, you know, you can get a leather flex cover fairly cheap, and people will cherish that Bible because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I have several Bibles. I have one Bible I use all the time, and that particular Bible, you know, it's falling apart, but, you know, it's a blessing. And so people that really use their Bible, they could absolutely, absolutely use one with a little better cover. And I will, I'll send you that link. It'll be over there at the pastor's page. Anyway, so we're moving right along. So pray about that. Just pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help over there, and, as I expressed in my last program, it's hard to get donations because we are not a 501(c), so 501(c) churches generally shy away from us, let alone when we talk about how the church needs to wake up and they need to start preaching things instead of politically correctness. They think we're the strange people down the street. So we don't get any help from any organized churches. It's just not something that happens. Sometimes we do get help from people that are in mainstream Christianity, which is fine. You know, and it's going to take mainstream Christianity There you have it. Here's the heart of the problem. Mainstream Christianity, the leadership can only change if the people that are in the church, that's you folks, you're in a church and they're not being right, they're preaching politically correct, you don't have to leave the church. I encourage you, be a light to that church and to the pastor and explain to them what's going on. That's what you should do, is make the change. Because there's people there in the church, people already love Yeshua, they love Christ. So you just need to get them to change a few things and start going by the word. And you only do that by verbally speaking up. And so don't be afraid to do that. Just do it in a peaceful, loving manner. But you need to change your church. So I'm not advocating for people to leave their church. I'm advocating for people to change their church. Then that's the group of followers that you're in the body of Christ. So change that group. Turn it to what it's supposed to be. Be a warning voice to them. That's what you should be. And my thought is that if you start bringing these things out, you'll find out that you probably have more allies within the church than you thought about, that you may not just be alone on these issues because people are waking up. But they just, you know, like I said, they don't want to leave the church. Well, I don't want you to leave the church. I want you to stay right where you're at, if at all possible, and make a change to the church. Make a change to the body of Messiah. So, you know, prayerfully, that's what's going to happen. Now, we're about like 2 minutes away from our guest. He was just delayed. I think it was at the airport. And he said about giving 15 minutes, and we're coming up on 15 minutes, so we should be hearing from him at any moment. Now, right now, I'm going to go ahead and do his intro on the ending of this, that I hope that he will be on by the time I get his intro. Okay, here we go. Now, folks, you really, though, and all these things are really important because we are in that time at the end. And so certain things that are about to happen were already there. For one, like now Turkey's calling for Turkey and another country, they're calling for all the Islamic nations to unite. This was in one of the foreign newspaper, but I have it and I've sent it to the website, that they are calling for the Islamic world to form together and form an army. Can you guess what for? To attack Israel. It sure sounds like Gog Magog building up here, folks. So really, you need to stay informed. Now, I'm trying to get a really good guest on next week to talk about this. But I'm telling you, this is some of the biggest news that has came out today, or at least that I have spotted today. So anyway, some things are about to happen. Now, you know, many of these things are about to happen. You know, let's talk about the two-house theory. You know, I don't know if you folks know anything about it, and, you know, there is some very sound doctrine out there about it. But there's a lot of bad stuff out there about it, too. And so I quit looking into it, and now I came across somebody that can explain it. Tonight, we will hear a better explanation of all this by an author that he simply calls it Commonwealth Theology. Now, the author is Douglas Krieger. He's a co-editor of Tribet since 2004, having scores of ebooks on. He has written a lot of ebooks, and he's written a lot of books, period. He served as an education administrator for public schools for 20 years, as well as public relations, and formerly he's an executive director of the National Religious Broadcasters National Prayer Breakfast in honor of Israel during the 1980s. He holds a BA administration credentials from CSULA/CSUS. I'm not sure what that is. Additionally, he was a pastor during the Jesus movement in 1968. You know, he's been married since to Deborah, his wife, and has three children, and they all love the Lord Jesus, he says. Now, some of Doug's books are The Two Witnesses, Volume 1 and 2, The Final Babylon, America, The Coming of the Antichrist, Signs in the Heavens and on the Earth. Man's days are numbered. He is measured. Uncommon Sense, a prophetic manifesto for the church in Babylon. So Now I'm going to ask, I'm praying that he has made it there, and we'll see right now. Welcome, Doug. Are you there with me, brother?
I am here with you, brother, and I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Oh, I can hear you just perfectly fine. And and not only did you have a delay, but we had a board at the station in Oregon. I'm in Kansas, and he's in Oregon. Burn out. Hey, look, we're not letting the devil come against us. We're hearing you great, and devil, you can sit on it as far as I'm concerned. But Doug, we got you on. And I just gave an intro. I explained to him a little bit about the book that you want to talk about, The Commonwealth Theology. So what is that, Doug?
Well, now, are we simply on radio, or is this radio and TV as well on Skype here?
Okay, what we're on right now, I can see you live on Skype right now. My picture isn't up, but yours is.
Okay.
We are live right now on YouTube. We are live on national radio. We are live, that's satellite. We are live on international radio, of course, on the internet and a couple of FM stations. So that's kind of where we're at.
Let me give you a little bit of background here. And insofar as the latest book put out by Tribnet Publications, as you know, I am now the editor of Tribnet Publications. We've published about 12 books now. With other authors, or by myself, or on behalf of other authors. Some books have been written jointly, like The Final Babylon with S. Douglas Woodward and Dean McGriff, two other authors. I wrote a book with Tom Horn and Steve Quayle and some others entitled Blood on the Altar. That is a very fascinating read because it's a composition of about 10 other authors. I also wrote a book on mathematics and the Bible entitled Signs in the Heavens and on the Earth, Man's Days Are Numbered and He is Measured, which was number one in Amazon as far as mathematics goes, which, like I say, shows you how boring math is. It was number one for 2 years in mathematics and geometry, and I'm really happy about that. I have a background in education. I was a public school administrator and mathematics instructor for a couple of decades. In any event, my latest book is a compendium, actually, of five other authors and myself, although I'm the only person mentioned in the book as the sole author, but I've taken their other writings and I've given them credit where credit is due, one of them being Doug Hamp, who has been on your program before, and another fellow by the name of Brian Hennessy, Chad Schaefer, who perhaps, if you haven't had him on your program, you should get him. He wrote a book with me entitled The World and the Bondage of Egypt Under the Triumphal Arch of Titus, which is a complete revision of, in a good way, of history and the march of successive empires on Jerusalem, and then the arches around the world and what they signify. And he speaks of the greater exodus that is approaching us. A fine writer, and with me together we compiled the book. That came out just as the Baal Arch was being fabricated for Trafalgar Square in London, and then again in New York City, the Baal Arch. Actually, it was the a replica of the Arch of Titus.
And Doug, I have to interrupt. I know you just got on, but we're going to do a 3-minute station break, and then we'll be back. But give your website out for Tribet, and then we'll go to a 3-minute break, and then you can explain it all to us.
Right. If you want to see more about this, go to www.tribnet.org. Tribnet.org. And oddly enough, it's the same URL for the Tacoma Tribune. But mine is .org, not .com.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Behold me, God.
today. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Sias Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, something I didn't tell you earlier, you can donate online or mail a check or money order and find all that information at prophecyhour.com, whether it's for radio or the Mission Church. And now we're back talking about the Commonwealth Theology with the author of the book, Doug Crager. Are you there with me, Doug?
Yes, I'm still here, Brother Dan. Absolutely. And
okay.
I'm very happy to talk about Commonwealth theology because it's about 2,000 years overdue.
Yeah.
And let me just say that the key verse that is used from Ephesians chapter 2, which is really a watershed verse, that enables us to understand just what's going on here. But going back a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 2, that we who were called uncircumcision, verse 11, by what is called uncircumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, there is a pernicious tendency, unfortunately, among Christians, that when we mention the phrase Commonwealth of Israel, we're clear that we were brought near through the blood of Christ. But when approached by the notion that we were brought into the Commonwealth of Israel, then we begin to say, well, then are we the real Israel of God, or what is this commonwealth really all about? And that is what this book intends to outline, that the commonwealth of Israel brings us in line with God's eternal plan and purpose in bringing the elect from both the Old Testament and the New together in Messiah, in one body, through the cross, and into the commonwealth of Israel that is in existence prior to the cross and after the cross. It is called the commonwealth of Israel. Now, interrupt me anytime you want, Dan, I want to read a verse that's very fascinating. Right after the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus found himself in a confrontation with some of the Jewish leaders of his day. And then there was a plot to kill Jesus, let alone eventually try to kill Lazarus. But in this plot to kill him, in the Gospel of John, eventually the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, I like this phrase, "You guys don't know anything at all. Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, that is actually a prophetic statement. But John, now listen to this, John takes it and rolls with Caiaphas' statement and says, "Now this," he, Caiaphas, John's talking now, "did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." He prophesied, Caiaphas, that Jesus would die for the nation. So John couches Caiaphas' statement in a prophetic context and a prophetic outburst that one should die for the nation. But now listen to this. And not for that nation only. Oh, we're expanding on Caiaphas, John. Don't put words in his mouth, but listen to this, what John says. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Now, pray tell, who are the children of God to be gathered into one scattered abroad? Who are these children of God scattered abroad? Are they Jews? Or are they looked upon as the would-be elect children of God in general that were scattered abroad? Who are those that are scattered abroad? And then it says this, that from that day on they plotted to put him to death. Then a very strange verse, verse 54 of John chapter 11, which says, therefore Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called, and you thought it was Bethany, or you thought it was Jericho. No, it was a city called Ephraim. Who ever heard of Ephraim? Okay, so Jesus takes off to the city called Ephraim, about 12 miles from Jerusalem, to the northwest of Jerusalem. And I find that little peculiar phraseology fascinating. Because the question applies, why did he go to Ephraim of all places? Right? And he just spoke about, through John, that not to die just for Judah, but for all the children of God scattered abroad. Now, if you go to James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, unto the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Fascinating. Well, I thought 10 of them were lost. Okay? Well, they're scattered abroad. Now, the book, Commonwealth Theology, is a contrast between replacement theology, which says that God has no intention or prophetic role for the Jews. Okay? And specific Israel. God doesn't have any role for them, and the church replaces Israel. We are the Israel of God. We are the true Israel. We are all Israel. And as far as the Jews go, they're just a fluke of history. They're just hanging around. And at best, they've got some real trouble down the line. And that's where they stand, period. Okay? Then you've got on the opposite side what I call the ghettoization of the Jew through dispensational theology. Yeah, God has a plan for the Jews, and the church has nothing to do with that plan. Okay? In fact, we're going to rapture right out of this place, and God's going to throw the football, the prophetic football, to the Jews and fulfill all his promises that he made to the Jews on this earth. And the church has nothing to do with that. Now, as a result of that particular doctrinal system that has been, in the main, perpetrated upon the American church, what we have here is a system that says God has a plan for the Jews, and God has written certain things in the Bible to the Jew only, and then God has written certain things to the church only, and the church is a great mystery that was not revealed until Paul came along, and there are two new covenants, one for the Jews and one for the Christians. By the way, there are two brides. One is called the wife of Jehovah, and the other one is called the bride of Christ for the church. There are two resurrections, one for the Old Testament saints and one for the New Testament saints. And this two-tiered system has actually been designed in a way to keep the Jews and those who constitute the ecclesia or the church from one another. Really? And there are two holy cities. There's the holy district that comes through Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48, and then it has a holy city and a sanctuary in it. And then there is the New Jerusalem descending from heaven, who never quite makes it to the earth and is spinning around up there for 1,000 years in orbit somewhere in the ionosphere, and it's called the Bride of Messiah. While Jesus is down on the earth as the son of David, the King David, he's still the groom, so he's multitasking, but we can't. You know, because we don't see the New Jerusalem as multidimensional because we can't think along a string theory. I'm talking like a mathematician now.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, Jesus, when he said to Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than these, Nathanael. You're going to see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You say that I am the Christ and that I am the King of Israel. And you are right, Nathanael, but the greatest thing you're going to see is the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man who links heaven to earth and earth to heaven.
Right.
And he is the bridge between this dimensional divide between the Jew and that heavenly people known as the church. Now, we've got a
Let me ask you a question. I got a question for you. A lot of mainstream Christianity is suffering from this dilemma of sorts of not having understanding. They haven't been, you know, fed the right things. But my point is this. Reconciliation by dismissing Israel in such a manner and doing replacement theology, even though people don't realize that they're using replacement theology over and over.
Right.
This book, can't this bring reconciliation back if we can just get them in their hands?
Oh, hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Doug Hamp, myself, Gavin Finley, Chad Schaefer, Brian Hennessy, you know, the six of us who really conspired to put this together. This is a watershed text. It finally answers the fact that the replacement theologians, they believe that there's no distinction, that there's no separation between the Jew and the church. That is, the church takes over, period. We supplant, we subsume Israel. We are the true Israel of God. We are the spiritual Israel. And the other Israel doesn't count, no how for no way, okay? And basically, what we've got here is a situation where there really is no plan for Israel. Now, John Piper comes along, God bless the brother, but he looks at what's on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean. It's a fluke of history. This is an abomination. This is apostate. I mean, God is a God of justice, and this has nothing to do with any eternal covenants or promises made to an earthly Israel, because what God is after today is, you know, Israel is the church, and we're going to inherit the whole earth, forget about a piece of dirt in the Middle East. Can you follow me?
Yeah,
then you've got the dispensationalist who comes along and says, yeah, God had a plan for Israel, and we're not included in it. We're completely different from Israel, and they are this earthly people, and we are a heavenly people, and consequently, we got nothing to do with these Jews but to bless them, praise God, and move on. Okay? That's not what's going to happen prophetically, brother, at the end of this age. Now, I want to read something to you out of the book of Acts that's going to shake your mind. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
The first church council, so-called, had a big problem with the Gentiles, the nations, coming into the assembly. And there was Peter there, and he was talking about how the baptism of the Spirit fell on them just like on us. And then, you know, on Cornelius' house, the Italian band. And then Paul and Barnabas said the same thing. Hey, you know, the Holy Spirit's doing signs and wonders among them, and we cannot refute this. This is of God. Well, the Pharisees were there, some that had believed in Jesus. And they said, hey, all these guys from the nations, they've got to be circumcised just like us. We've got to make them just like Jews. And, boy, that was, you know, hey, that was radical. Now, this is the crisis happening in the early church, right? You got to listen to this now. So, eventually, James stands up after all the squabbling, after everybody had a chance to share. And he says, men and brethren, listen to me. Verse 14, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the nations, the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. Now listen, the words of the prophets agree that he would take out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. Who are these people? And here's what he says. He quotes this verse out of nowhere. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I'll set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the nations who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. The phrase, the tabernacle of David, literally in the American Standard Version of the Scriptures, and also in the Septuagint, which is the Koine Greek version of the Old Testament that was translated by the Jews, by the 70, and it says this, that the tabernacle of David literally means the kingdom of David. I'm going to raise up the United Kingdom of David again. What is all that about? Well, the way the church phrased this was that when David and Solomon, even Saul, they had a united kingdom. The 10 tribes of the north and the 2 tribes of the south were all together. And then at the breach of Jeroboam, when Jeroboam split off with the 10 tribes of the north and the 2 tribes of the south were with Judah, and then they were going to have a big fight, and the youth said, let's lay a heavy yoke on them. Let's exploit their labor of the 10 tribes of the north and tax them. So it was taxation and labor exploitation. And that was the yoke. And so Peter gets up and says, let's not lay a yoke on the Gentiles like our fathers did, and we couldn't even bear that yoke. Right?
Right.
So he says, don't put a yoke on these people. And who are these people? They're the ones that were called out from the nations, that were no longer a people, that were scattered among the nations. This is Ephraim. And if
right.
you read Romans 9:22, you're going to find out that Paul quotes Hosea and says that he's going to have mercy on a people who were no longer a people. Who was that? He had divorced Ephraim and scattered them among the nations. And now he's calling out from among the nations that which he has had mercy upon. And guess who we are? According to Paul and Hosea and what happened at the First Church Council, we are the ones that were scattered among the nations. We're that Ephraim. Okay?
Well, amen. Let me ask you something. So this, you know, in the first of the program, and you weren't present, I mentioned something about the two-house theory in a sense that, I talked about it with several folks, you know, years ago, and then there was so much garbage with it, I guess,
yeah.
that kept coming in because the right teachers weren't. Will this reconciliate and fix that?
It will. And I'm going to tell you something. This thing's come a long ways since the so-called two-house theory. Here's the thing. We have to take the scriptures for what they say. And that is this. Over a 33-year time frame, and I can get into the numbers on this too, which is, I think, Messiah's number, but from about 745 B.C. to about 712 B.C., millions of Israelites from the 10 tribes were deported into Assyria until Sennacherib's 185,000-man army was slain by the angel of the Lord under Hezekiah. And then it stopped in 712 B.C., Samaria fell, yes indeed, in 722 B.C., but it was depopulated from the time of Tiglath-Pileser III from about 745 B.C. all the way up through Sennacherib in 712 B.C. Millions were deported. Now, the notion from the people who are very upset about this two-house theory, and this has nothing to do with replacing the Jew. We're not here to replace the Jew.
Right.
Okay? We are a Jew who is one inwardly, if we're talking about circumcision of the heart, right? The
right.
Jews remain Judah, and we remain Israel. Okay? We are the true... In this sense, we are not just... I'm just saying what the Bible says. The Bible
right.
says that Ephraim, Jezreel, Samaria, Israel was swallowed up by Assyria, was swallowed up by the nations. Read Hosea 8. They were scattered among the nations. They were swallowed up among the nations. And there isn't a halfway decent anthropologist who has studied people who would say otherwise. Josephus even said, there are millions of Israelites beyond the river Euphrates. They are without number. Okay, this was at the time of Christ.
Right.
Okay, They were everywhere. Now, where did they go? Where is their DNA, if you would? Hey, their DNA after this many generations, just about over the whole earth, it is.
Right.
But here's the thing, that the rest of mankind, you've got to go to Amos chapter 9, verses 9, 10, and 11, and read what it says there. In the Septuagint, again, it uses the word Edom as mankind, that Edom, that there would be a remnant of Edom. Now, who are the Edomites? Hey, have you ever heard of Obed-Edom, the servant of Edom, in where the Ark of the Covenant was placed for 90 days? And Obed-Edom was blessed in his house, this servant of Edom, who is from Esau, and that these Edomites, eventually 68 of them, plus Obed-Edom, made 69. And you know what happened after 69? Messiah the Prince came in the 69th week of Daniel, right? And all 69 of these guys were the gatekeepers in the tabernacle of David. They united themselves as the rest of mankind to David. And that is the testimony that when the breach of Jeroboam and Rehoboam is healed, okay, just like Acts 15, then the people will believe, the rest of mankind will join themselves to a united kingdom of David. And that's what we're for here in Commonwealth theology. We reject dispensationalism, and we reject replacement theology, and we embrace the Commonwealth of Israel. And then you ask me, well, when do these things happen? And Jeremiah says in chapter 30, verse 21, in the latter days, not years, but in the latter days, you will consider this. What? The restoration of Ephraim and Judah. And furthermore, guess what it says in Ezekiel 37? That's where it speaks very clearly of the Valley of Dry Bones. And it says it's the whole house of Israel. It's not just Judah. But you thought Ephraim was swallowed up of Judah? Well, I got news for you, brother. The fact of the matter is, he says, I'm going to take in that day, in the last days, just before the Gog-Magog conflagration, I'm going to take the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, which is the stick of Ephraim, and I'm going to bring them together in my hand, and they're going to be one in the hand of the Lord. Now, the question is this. If Ephraim was swallowed up by Judah, and they all joined themselves to Judah, which is a misnomer and is a bald-faced lie, quite frankly, then what is God doing at the end of the age bringing Ephraim together with Judah if they're already there?
That's a great point. That's a great point. I never really looked at that like that, but that is absolutely it. I haven't had a chance to read the book, brother, but I'm really going to do it. You sent me the PDF, but we're going to cut off this part right now. And folks, this is really important. I want you to tell us about, we got about 3 minutes, two or three minutes. I want you to tell about the conference. That's really important.
Yeah, we're having a conference. It's called One in Messiah, and it's a takeoff on Commonwealth theology to a great extent. But it's also the answer to the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Now, we're not talking about ecumenism and some kind of a liberal, let's all get together and do a kumbaya thing. We are holding the Lord to his prayer, and we are saying before God and man, where's the answer to your prayer, Jesus? Where is the oneness of your people? And now, Lord, you have got to prove that you can answer your own prayer. And we're going to avail ourselves through over 12 different ministries coming together, surrounding you, and declaring that we are one in Messiah. Now, we have a lot of factions. Hey, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Peter. Hey, we got lots of, then we have a lot of ethnic stuff going on. There's a barbarian, a Roman, a Scythian, a Jew. Hey, we got all kinds of issues, right? But we come together with all these issues, and we are one in the Messiah. That's our oneness. It is not based on somebody's ministry. Now, God has given all kinds of ministries for the body, for its building up. But there must needs be factions among you, Paul says, that they that are genuine might be manifest. That means those of us who see the true oneness of the body of Christ are not going to let a lot of miscellaneous doctrine that is going to get in the way of us, even though it's that important. Now, frankly, I'm a rabid post-tribulationist, but I'm not going to let that doctrine, as precious as it is to me, get in the way of my oneness that I have in Christ with brethren who do not affirm that position.
Well, Doug, I'm going to have to break in, but I love every word you just said, especially the last, I'm the same way about post-tribulation, but you know what? I've had people that are pre-trib, like Bill Solis and other people.
Oh,
are.
Yeah, Bill's
because,
great brother.
Yeah, amen. And we can meet under Christ, and we can, not let those things be in our way. Tell us where to find you in the conference, and I'm going to have to get you out of here because I'm out of time.
But if they want to get into the conference, they can just go to onebody, onebody, .life/conference. onebody.life/conference, and they'll get right into the registration. We got live streaming coming in too. onebody.life/conference. Thank you, Brother Dan, for this opportunity to share.
All right, you be blessed, brother. We'll talk again. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, tribet.org. Go over there and check him out. But remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. And, folks, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Remember, we need King James Version Bibles. It's like right now. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you. And his face shines upon you, and he's gracious to you. And he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.